All right, if you take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I've entitled this message, The Sanctification, Confirmation, and Preservation of the Church. Sanctification, Confirmation, and Preservation of the Church. All three of these are established in these first 10 verses of the this letter to the church at Corinth. Paul begins this, Paul, and a called an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, listen, unto the church of God. We know who this is written to. It is written to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Paul's writing to this church of Corinth. This church of Corinth was established by the Apostle Paul. If you want to read it in Acts chapter 18, you can. The Apostle Paul was sent there by the Lord, and the Lord told the Apostle when he went to preach there, he said, don't be afraid. I have much people in this place. This church of Corinth, when the gospel was preached, this church was large. It was a very large, very rich church. And the Lord established this church by the Apostle Paul. But as soon as the Apostle had left, he had spent 18 months there, and as soon as he had left, divisions had arisen in this church. Divisions among the saints concerning preachers. They were misusing the Lord's Supper. Listen, and they were getting drunk. False teachers had crept into this church, preaching that the resurrection had passed and many other false doctrines. But you know what the apostle did in order to correct these errors, in order to heal those divisions, in order to set those false doctrines aside. He did this by one remedy. Preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel. And now let us see that this letter is not just intended for this church, the church at Corinth, but it is intended for all the churches of God. Look what he said. With all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord. He said, I'm preaching to the church of God, both at Corinth and wherever, whoever calls upon the name of God. That is the church of God. And so God intends to heal this church by the means of preaching the gospel. Paul establishes this, that we have one purpose, one calling, and one desire. Every man that's called of God to preach has one purpose. Preach the Word. Isn't that what he told Timothy? Preach the Word. Be instant, in season, and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. How do we reprove? How do we rebuke? How do we exhort? Preach the Word. That's how you do it. You preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it is by the preaching of the gospel that we are rebuked. It is by the preaching of the gospel that we are encouraged. It is by the preaching of the gospel we are comforted. Look at verse 17. Paul establishes this truth. He said, for Christ sent me not to baptize. Baptism is important, isn't it? But he said, there's something more important than baptism, and here it is. He didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. How? Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. You realize this, that if we bend the Word of God to accommodate man, then our Word has no effect. If we seek to please men by our word has no effect. Look at verse 22, for the Jews require a sign. How many people desire to see power? They say, well, is this a church of God? Well, I want to see some miracle. I want to see some power. I want to feel something. If I don't feel anything, then you're obviously not the church of God. They seek a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. Most people want an academic church. An academic church. But what did Paul say? He said, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, those that seek a feeling, those that seek power, those that seek a sign, we are a stumbling block. To those who seek education, we are what? Foolishness. We're foolish. But listen, to them that are called, to all who believe on Christ, to all have heard His voice, both Jew and Greek, what do we believe? We believe Christ is the power. I don't need to see a sign. Christ is the power. Didn't He say that to those Jews? He said, no sign is going to be given to this generation except the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. You want a sign? That's a sign. That's the only sign I need. Christ is the power of God. You want academic? Well, Christ is the wisdom of God. We don't need academic. I don't want to confuse you. I want to be plain. I want to be clear when I preach. I don't want to tickle the minds of men. We who are called, Christ is the power of God. Christ is the wisdom of God. Look, therefore, go to chapter 2 and look at verse 2. Therefore, what is Paul's conclusion? He said, for I determined not to know anything among you except what? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This is our message. This is constantly, consistently, and boldly our message. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It is the remedy for all your trouble. It is the remedy for all your trouble. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This is our message. And that's the message I want you to hear tonight, the gospel. And I'm going to show you this. Paul establishes three things now. Three things in order to comfort God's people. In order to establish the church and remedy their trouble, he establishes three things in these first 10 verses that every believer should know, that every believer should be very aware of and find comfort in. First of all, every believer in Christ is sanctified. The church of God is sanctified. Secondly, the church of God is confirmed. Confirmed. Everyone who is in the church, everyone who is a believer, you are sanctified by God. You are sanctified by God. But how do you know? What's the confirmation of your sanctification? Thirdly, the preservation of the church. Everyone who is sanctified has this confirmed in them because they believe on Christ. And everyone who believes on Christ, Paul says this, you are preserved in Christ. You are preserved. Let's look at these together. First of all, the sanctification of the church. Paul begins this letter. He states his authority. He says, I'm an apostle. He was called an apostle. After the Lord saved the apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, He made him an apostle. He heard His word directly from Christ. And as a faithful apostle, he is given the responsibility to write the word of God for us so that we should be comforted and established. This gospel he preached is the gospel the church believes. It's the gospel the church loves. But now the church is full of strife. The church is tainted with errors. And the first thing Paul reminds these believers of, listen, in the midst of their errors, in the midst of their troubles, he reminds them of this. You are sanctified. This church, as far as I know, in the New Testament churches, this probably was the worst. This church was probably the worst. And the worst church, what did Paul establish first? They're sanctified. they're sanctified. He establishes their sanctification. Look at this in verse 2. Unto the church of God. Look what he calls them. With all their trouble, with all their sin, with all of their difficulty, the first thing he calls them is the church of God. The church of God, which is at Corinth. Well, who is the church of God? Them that are sanctified. The church of God. Who is the church of God? Let us be reminded that the church of God is all the elect. All of the elect are the church of God. All of those that God the Father chose. All of those that Christ redeemed. All of those that are called of the Spirit of God. Listen, you are the church of God. We got a nice new building. We got a nice new building. This building is not the church. It's a building that the church comes to. You are the church of God. It's not a denomination. The church is not Baptist or Presbyterian. It's not Catholic. It's not a denomination. It's a people. The church of God are His elect, His redeemed, and His called. The manifestation that you are the church of God is this. You believe on the Son of God. You believe, as many as received Him, to them gave He the right. What right do you have to say you are the church of God? As many as received Him, to them gave He the right to be called what? The sons of God. Sons of God. And your birth was not by blood. Your being part of this church is not by the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but you were born again of God. You're the church of God because God made you His church, made you His children. And so this church of Corinth, or group of believers, who come together to worship God. Isn't that what we want to do tonight? I want to worship God. I want to bow before God. I want to hear His Word. I don't want you to hear me. Please don't listen to me. I hope you hear Him. I want you to hear Him. And if you hear Him, you got something. We've gathered together to hear Him, to hear His Word. We desire to hear the gospel of Christ. So then, you who are the church of God, who believe on Christ, let's see that this church of God, we are not by the church by merit or by strength or by will. We are the church of God because we are sanctified by God. You are the church because you're sanctified. Look what it says. Unto the church of God, it's at Corinth, listen, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Sanctified. The church of Corinth, they were a church of God because of their sanctification. Now, a lot of people in today are very confused as to what sanctification means. Most of them think sanctification is something you do. It has something to do with your morality or your piety. That you can somehow sanctify yourself and make yourself more holy. That is the common usage today in religion of the word sanctification. They believe it's something that you must do. God, Christ redeemed you. The Father chose you. They believe in election. They believe in the redemption of Christ. They believe the righteousness of Christ. But sanctification is a cooperative effort. Yeah, God sanctified me, but you also have to sanctify yourself. Not in the book. Not in the book. This church was sanctified by God in Christ. In Christ. Now, what does sanctification mean? If it doesn't have to do with your outward piety and your moral obedience, what does it mean? Sanctification has two meanings in Scripture. One is that it means to be set apart, set apart. The tabernacle. In the tabernacle, there were furniture in the tabernacle. And God said this furniture was sanctified. God set that furniture apart for His worship. Now you can go home and you could measure out take all those dimensions of that furniture, right? And you could whittle out you an altar. You can whittle out you a laver. You can make an ark of gold. But you see, your ark, you can put it in your house. You can put it on a pedestal. You can do anything you want to with it. Why? Your ark is not sanctified. Your ark has nothing to do with the worship of God. That furniture was set apart. It was intended by God to picture His Son. It was set apart. And so I want you to see this. You who are believers in Christ, you who are the church of God, I want you to know this. You were set apart by God for His own glory. You were set apart. You were sanctified by God the Father. Sanctified by God the Father. Set apart for the glory and the worship of God. He purposed this. And I'm going to show it to you in just a minute. But the second meaning of the word sanctification is this. Holiness. Holiness. The word sanctify means to be holy. Without sin. Without sin. We say God is what? Holy. What do we mean? We mean that God is without sin. In Him is light and no darkness at all. He is perfect. He is holy. That's what we mean. And so then all the church collectively have been set apart from Adam's race, and God has purposed this for you, that you should be holy. Without sin. Now, where do we find this? Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. I know you know this well, but it's the best, I think it's the best scripture to illustrate this. It just really is. It has it all right here. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Where are all heavenly, where are all the blessings? Where are all spiritual blessings? Where are they at? They're in Christ. They're in Christ. And we bless God, who has blessed us with all heavenly, all spiritual blessings in Christ, putting us in Christ, according as He had chosen us, where? In Christ. Don't you see this? That God sets you apart by putting you in union with His Son? You are sanctified in this, that He chose you. He chose you. And put you in Christ. When? Before the foundation of the world. For what purpose? Look at it. That you should be what? Holy. You should be sanctified. You should be without blame, blameless before Him. Here's His motivation. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. How? By Jesus Christ. Now that's how you're going to be holy. That's how you will be a son of God. By Jesus Christ. Not by your work, not by you sanctifying yourself, but by Jesus Christ. That's how we are made holy, by Him. For what purpose? That we should be to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. You are sanctified by God the Father, set apart and purposed to be holy by the will of God. Now, grab a hold of this. You are sanctified because God willed it so. Now, what do you have to do with that? What did you have to do with this? Sanctification. Did you have anything to do with you setting yourself apart? No, God set you apart for His own, the praise of the glory of His own grace. That's the reason, love and the praise of His own grace. He set you apart in Christ and decreed that you should be made holy by Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ. God purposed that all this church should not be saved by our own offerings, that none of His church should be saved by their own merit or work, or that we should be sanctified by our own deeds. Therefore, the church was sanctified in Christ before the world began by an act of divine sovereignty and love. Jude says of the church, he says, we are sanctified by the Father, preserved in Christ Jesus, and called. You who are sanctified by the Father, you were preserved where? In Christ Jesus. You were set apart in Him. And notice the result of this. Look at verse 7 of Ephesians 1. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. All who are sanctified and set apart by the Father, decreed to be holy, declared to be holy by God, Jesus Christ came into the world and actually accomplished our sanctification. He accomplished it. Christ Jesus came into the world. Notice that Paul says in your text, he says that you are sanctified where? In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It means this: when Christ Jesus came into the world, He was our surety. He was our high priest. He was our representative. You know, Adam was our representative, and when he sinned, we sinned. When he died, what? We died. Even so, when Jesus Christ came into the world and obeyed the law of God, all who were in Christ were made righteous. When Christ died for the sins of His people, they were made holy. He sanctified us by His work. Go over to Hebrews chapter 10. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Look at what our Savior did for you and me, His church. Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 9, He said, Christ said, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written to me to do Thy will. In verse 9, He said, lo, I come to do Thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that He may establish the second. By the which will, Christ came to do the will of God. What I just told you what the will of God was. What was the will of God? In Ephesians, what was the will of God for His people? That you should be what? Holy and without blame. Therefore, Christ came into the world to fulfill the will of God. To make you holy. He said, by the which will we are what? What are we? Sanctified. Sanctified. How in the world could we be sanctified? Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Friend, you getting this? When were you sanctified? Well, you were sanctified in eternity when God set you apart, when God decreed you to be holy. But it actually took place when Christ, through the offering of His body, He sanctified you. He made you holy. Now every priest standeth daily ministering oftentimes the same sacrifice that can never take away sin. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down. I've told you this before. Why'd he sit down? Why'd he sit down? Well, why do you sit down? When you're done working, what do you do? You sit down. You're finished. That's why Christ is our Sabbath day. That's Christ is our Sabbath, because He is resting from His work. He's finished His work. He sat down at the right hand of God, expecting till His enemies be made His footstool. Why is He sitting down? For by one offering He hath perfected forever. Who? Them that are sanctified. Those He sanctified, He perfected forever. So who's doing the sanctifying here? So far, have you seen any part of this yours? Does any part of this sanctification belong to you? No. Good news. That's good news, isn't it? That it doesn't, that sanctification does not rest on us. I'm so thankful. There's not one thing that I haven't messed up. I can't name one thing that I've done perfectly. And so if sanctification was left up to me, I would be ruined. I would be ruined. But see this, believer, you church of God, you were sanctified. You were sanctified in Jesus Christ once for all. Christ, by His offering, has taken all of our sin, all of the sin of all of His church, and removed them from us. God put our sins on His own darling Son. He imputed our sins to Christ. For God hath made Him to be what? Sin for us. Now He knew no sin. He was holy, and yet He was made sin. I don't understand it. Yet He was. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God. Where? In Him. In Him. Therefore, when Jesus Christ was made sin for us who knew no sin, He by Himself purged our sins. He forever pleased the law of God on our behalf. Now I know this. When we were born into the world, we knew none of this. When were you sanctified? You were sanctified before you were born. You were made perfect before you were... But when you came into this world, did you come in this world perfect? We came into this world as sinners. We knew nothing of our election. We were born dead in sins. By nature, we could never satisfy the justice of God. None of us by nature could ever merit the righteousness of God. We could not even believe on Christ. People think faith is something easy. They believe faith to be nothing more than a decision. The Scripture tells us to understand faith is easy, but to do it is impossible. Jesus said, no man can come unto me except what? The Father which has sent me draw him. Many false preachers use the illustration of a man, a sinner, as a drowning man. They say the gospel is like a lifeline. They take a rope, you tie it to a tree, and you throw it out there to a man drowning. So that's the gospel. And a man, all he's got to do is grab a hold to the rope and pull himself in. That's not even close. We're not drowning, we're drowned. You see, somebody doesn't have... I'm not floating on the river. I'm underneath the river. Somebody has to actually plumb the depths of God's justice and pull my dead corpse out and give me life. That's how a believer is saved. Jesus Christ, that's what He did at the cross. He parted the sea of God's justice. He reached down and rescued us. I didn't need a lifeline. I needed life. I didn't need a hand. I needed somebody to do it for me. And that's what Christ did. He saved us. He pulled us out. He sanctified us by the power of the Holy Spirit in regeneration. So at the appointed time of God's love, which He purposed from eternity, all who are sanctified by the Father, all who are sanctified by the blood of the Son, will be sanctified by the effectual call of the Spirit. In other words, everybody that God sanctified will experience this sanctification. You'll receive it. You'll receive it. This is by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what Paul says of the church of God, that they are not only sanctified by Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ, but what? Look back at your text now. Go back over there to 1 Corinthians. Look at this. He says you're sanctified where? In Christ Jesus, and then what? What's the manifestation of your sanctification? Called saints. Called. Everyone that Christ died for shall be called. Called what? Saints. Saint Joanne. That's right. You are. Saint Eric. Saint. You are a saint. Not like the world sees saints. No, you are really saints. You were saints not by a miracle of earthly proportions, but a miracle of divine proportions. You were made holy by God Himself. You were sanctified in an act of divine power. Believer, remember when we were called by the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel, we were by nature haters of God. We would not believe in Christ. We loved our sin. We loved this world. We had no need of Christ. We have no need of Christ. We were unholy, unrighteous, and ungodly. We were totally depraved, dead in our sins. But God, who sanctified us, who set us apart, and purposed that we should be holy, also came in time and made us holy. He actually sanctified us. How did He do this? He made us holy before God. Now I want you to see this. Every believer is holy. I know this takes faith to see this, but every believer is holy. I wouldn't say it if God didn't say it. I'm not going to tell you something like that. If God didn't say it through His apostles. Go to 1 John. Look at 1 John. See what John says about us who are born again of the Spirit of God. 1 John 3. 1 John 3 and verse 6. Whosoever abideth in Him, what? What does it say? Sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Look at chapter 5 and verse 18. Chapter 5 and verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God, what? There it is again. Sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. Now how in the world do you reconcile this with 1 John chapter 1? If any man say he is without sin, makes God a liar. But if we confess our what? Our sin. He forgiveth us of all our sin. How can you reconcile these two? Simply by this. When you're born again of God, God creates in you a holy nature. And it is that nature John is talking about. That which is born of God, listen, sinneth not. That which is created of God, in the new man, it does not sin. But what did God do for the old man? Nothing. That which is born of flesh is what? Flesh. And that which is born of spirit is spirit. This is why a believer struggles within himself. This is why when you look in the mirror, you are not going to see a holy man. What do you see? As a believer in Christ, what do you see? We see our sin. The more I grow in grace and knowledge of Christ, I know this, the more sin I see. It's not that it wasn't there all the time. I just am made aware of it. And therefore, the believer struggles. This is why you need to hear this message, because you struggle. 'Tis a point I long to know, and oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I His or am I not? We see sin. But this is what God says. Whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Why? Because you are sanctified. Now, what did you have to do with that new nature? The same thing you had to do with Christ's offering. The same thing you had to do with your election. Not a single This is what God has done for you. He has sanctified you. Don't buy into the false doctrine that you have to somehow, you are saved by grace, and somehow you have to, under the law of Moses, sanctify yourself. Paul said to those Galatians, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit that you're made perfect by the flesh? No. We were sanctified by the Father, sanctified by the Son, and sanctified by the Spirit of God. You are holy before the eyes of God. What does it say in Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 20? It says that the sin of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. When God is searching for your sins, you know He cannot find them? You know why? Because Christ has borne them away forever. Forever. And listen, God has taken into account all of those sins you've not yet committed. When you leave here, what are you going to do? We will sin. To our shame, we will sin. But to His glory, He has already taken them into account and nailed them to His cross. You know that picture of the Great Day of Atonement? It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? You want to know how you were sanctified? Here it is. When they killed that animal, they took that blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. What a picture of Christ. He was slain by the justice of God. Why was He slain? It took another animal to picture that. That high priest confessed all of the sins of Israel on that scapegoat, and that strong man put him on his shoulders and carried that scapegoat away. He just kept going and going and going until he was no longer in sight. That's what Christ did with our sins. He bore them away forever. Why? So that the church of God might be sanctified in Christ Jesus. That you might be called saints. And what are the benefits of this? Look back at your text. Grace and peace. There's the benefits. Grace. Grace. Is that not all that you receive now? Grace. Grace for what? Grace. We were sanctified by grace. We were redeemed by grace. We are called by grace. We are kept by grace. Grace unto thee. And what? Peace. Peace. Now let me ask you this. Are you sanctified? Are you sanctified? How can we know we are sanctified? Do you believe on the Son of God? This is what the confirmation is. This confirmation that Paul speaks about, I don't have time to get into it. I'm not going to be able to finish again. But this confirmation, Paul says in verse 7, he says, so that you come behind and no gift wanting, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm... I'm sorry, I went ahead of myself. Look, verse 5. That in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Is the testimony of Christ confirmed in you? What is the testimony of Christ? It is that gospel that I just preached. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Is that confirmed in you? Are you enriched by this gospel? Do you love this gospel? Do you need this gospel? You do. And you confirm this. You confirm that the gospel is true. Everyone who has the Spirit of God confesses that this gospel is true. We confess that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. We confess that He alone is all our salvation. We confess His success. We confess that He is now risen and ascended to the right hand of God. We confess that all of His people shall be called through the preaching of the gospel. And everyone that is called believes on Christ and they are kept by the power of God. We confess this. This is true. The gospel is real to us. Everyone who is called by His power and grace. This gospel is confirmed. I was talking to someone like last night about the confirmation. Basically, it's like this. When I preach Christ to you, you say, yeah, that's Him. When I say Christ was God, you say, yep, that's confirmed. I confirm that in my heart. Christ is man, I confirm that in my heart. He became my surety. I confirm that He was successful. All these things about Christ that we read in the Scriptures, we confirm it in our hearts. That's how you know you're sanctified. Everyone sanctified confirms this gospel, is enriched by this gospel. And listen, everyone who is sanctified is preserved. Paul says that you are confirmed, God will confirm you. Listen, to the end. What does that mean? You're going to believe this gospel to the end. Isn't this comforting? How often do you doubt you're going to continue? How often do we doubt, am I going to finish this race? You will. If you're really His, if you're sanctified, you will finish this race. Why? Paul says this, I think in verse 9, he says, God is what? Faithful. God's faithful. I'm so glad He didn't say we were faithful. Because that wouldn't be true, would it? I'm going to confirm this gospel to the end. Why? God is faithful. It was God that set us apart. It was Christ who made us holy. It was the Spirit who applied that holy nature to us. And it is the Spirit of God that keeps us in the faith to the end. Now I'm going to ask you one more time. What do you have to do with your sanctification? Nothing. It's God that sanctified us. Isn't that what it said? Look, just look at that one passage. I'm going to give you that at the end. Just read it. Tell me if this is true. Look at the end of that of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at the end verses. Look what Paul says about it at the end of this chapter. He says, "But of God, you are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom." Is He your wisdom? You bet He is. He is our wisdom. What about righteousness? Yep, He's my righteousness. What about redemption? Oh yes, His blood is my redemption. And what? Sanctification. Just as much as He's my righteousness, my wisdom, and my redemption, He is also what? My sanctification. So again, what do you got to do? Don't you see it's all done? Isn't that the comfort? Isn't that the assurance? God did it, and it's done. Now, give thanks. Rejoice. You want your part? There it is. Rejoice. Give thanks. Praise God. Preach His Word. You are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints. Pray God will bless this. Gracious Father, I pray You'd bless Your Word to Your people. Confirm again in our hearts tonight by Your Spirit that all is done. Christ accomplished all that You require. You have applied it to our hearts and You keep us in this faith. You are faithful even unto the end. I pray that You would keep our eyes fixed on this, even in the dark providences that we face every day. I pray that You would bless Your church in Jesus' name. Amen.